Joshua chapter 6 this morning. Let's stand together as we read just a couple verses this morning and try to preach what the Lord's laying on heart. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." This morning for a few minutes, I just want to preach on this thought. Keep walking until God says stop. Father, would you help us this morning? Lord, thank you for this place. Lord, thank you for the lives that are changed through this institution, through this college. Father, thank you for the men and women who make up this college. Lord, whether it be faculty and staff or students alike, Father, you've got a plan for our lives to impact and influence this world for Jesus. I pray this morning that we would soak in what you have for us. And Father, then we would go out and give it to the world what you've given to us. Father, help me as I preach this morning to be a blessing. I pray for the Word of God as it goes forth that it would reach the hearts. Father, that it would not just stir us, but it would change us today. Father, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being better to us than we ever could deserve. We love you this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We come to the book of Joshua. Most of you know the story of Joshua chapter 6. And so for the sake of time, I'm not going to go and read the entire story. But in the beginning of Joshua, the children of Israel had just finished 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of unbelief and disobedience. God allowed them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Over and over, they circled the wilderness waiting for the chastisement of God to be done with. As we come into the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, the children of Israel have reached the end of that 40 years. And they are about to walk into the promised land. They are about to now possess the land that God promised them years and years before. Joshua comes onto the scene as the leader. Moses dies. The book of Joshua opens with Moses passing away and Joshua taking on the mantle of leadership. And I love what the Bible says in verse number 2 of Joshua chapter 1. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people." I'm glad that God always has a man or a woman to fill His purpose and His plan. I'm glad that, listen, even though our world is in bad shape, God still has men and women that He is raising up to lead a nation, to lead our homes, to lead our churches for God's glory. Joshua steps into that role of leadership, and in Joshua chapter 1, as you read it, you can almost sense the excitement in the air. You can almost sense a buzz going around the camp as they're excited. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. Joshua comes to the people with the instructions of God. He says, "Prepare yourselves. Get your food ready." He says, "In 3 days, we're going over the Jordan into the promised land." So on the third day, with the excitement, with the anticipation building, on the third day, the priests pick up the Ark of the Covenant and they step into the fast-flowing river Jordan. And when they do, just like God had done the Red Sea years and years before, as they step into the Jordan River, the water parts, and they walk across on dry ground, walk across the Jordan River into the promised land. As they walk out of the Jordan River, they're now standing on the land that God had promised them years ago. Man, what a fulfillment of God's promise. What a blessing. What an excitement that the entire nation of Israel is now in the promised land. Man, everything's exciting. But shortly after they walk into the promised land, shortly after they cross the Jordan River, in the midst of their excitement, they run into an obstacle called Jericho. Jericho was not just your ordinary obstacle. Jericho was not just your ordinary city. Jericho was one of the most biggest major cities of that day. You study Jericho, it was a metropolitan area. It was a fortified area. This was no small nation. This was no small army. The Bible says that they run up against Jericho in the promised land. Jericho was big. Jericho was mighty. Jericho was huge. And as we open Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says that Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Somebody squealed. Somebody spilled the beans. They heard that the children of Israel were coming and they shut the gates. They locked the doors. They went on red alert. They got their guns loaded and tanks ready to roll because, you see, they had heard the stories of the children of Israel. They had heard how armies and enemies of nation of Israel had fared in years gone by. They had heard how their God had fought for them and destroyed. They had heard the story of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And now this nation, who had so many victories in time past, is now coming into their city. They shut the doors and lock everything up tight. You know, sometimes that's the way our life is. Sometimes we're experiencing the blessings of God. Sometimes we're excited about His goodness. Sometimes we're rejoicing in His blessings. And sometimes our mouth is filled with testimonies and praises because of His goodness in our life. And sometimes the sun is shining bright. But sometimes as we're living in the goodness of God, sometimes we're enjoying His blessings, all of a sudden Jericho shows up in our life. Sometimes while we're living in God's sunshine, so to speak, the rain clouds begin to form and the storms come into our life. And many times it's when we least expect it. We'll be going down the road and the music playing in the car and singing along and just rejoicing and having a good time. It's Monday morning and I've had my devotions for the day. I've had my time with God and it's good and it's great and I've enjoyed fellowship with God. And now I'm on my way to work and I'm on my way to area of ministry or on my way to class that morning. And before lunchtime rolls around, Jericho has showed up. And before lunchtime, sometimes it seems like before I get to sit down for lunch, Jericho has showed up and the praises are almost all but forgotten. And the goodness of God, it seems to be a distant memory. And the songs that once filled our mouths that morning are now put on the back burner and we don't think about those things. And we're not focusing on those things because in front of us, in our life now, is an obstacle. And those obstacles take on many forms. Those storms come in many different forms. Those trials come into our life in many different ways. Those Jerichos come into our life. I tell you something this morning. The obstacles for the nation of Israel did not surprise God. God knew that Jericho was there. God knew that the walls were big. God knew that the armies were strong. He knew that the gates had been straightly shut up. God knew about Jericho. Listen, the parade of Jericho was not interrupted. God knew exactly what was going on. He wasn't surprised by Jericho. God still had a plan. Hey, we know the story. We know the story how God came and told Joshua the plan and they put the plan into motion. He said, listen, I don't want you to storm the gates with the battering rams. I want you to walk around Jericho every day for 7 days. One time a day for the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times the walls of Jericho. We know the story today. Hey, listen, we've all read the story. We've heard the story for years how that God brought victory and God brought the walls of Jericho down. And somebody said one time, a critic of the Word of God said, it wasn't God that made the walls of Jericho fall down. It was an earthquake. Tell me, hallelujah, who it is that brings the earthquakes. Amen. There it is. And so God brings victory and the walls come tumbling down, right? We've sung the songs. You've watched the VeggieTales. You know what happens in the story, right? And they walk into Jericho and possess Jericho. Jericho is defeated through the power and might of God. We look at the plan that God had. We looked at the plan that God set forth to Israel, and when they followed the plan, they were victorious. I tell you today, and just encourage you with the Word of God, you may be facing Jericho this morning. You may be facing one of the largest obstacles of your life, but it has not taken God by surprise. God didn't wake up this morning shocked by what is now a part of your life. God doesn't, He's not worried about the trials and the tribulation. It's still in His plan book. He knew all about it all along. Philippians 1:6 still says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working. He's still molding. He hasn't forgot about you. And the obstacles that you face today can and will be defeated by the Word of God in His power. The same God that worked for the children of Israel at the walls of Jericho is the same God that you and I serve today. Listen, nothing in this world has taken Him by surprise. The pandemic didn't take God by surprise. The election didn't take God by surprise. Your trial in your personal life didn't take God by surprise. He still has a plan for your life. He's still working, and you still can be victorious no matter how big Jericho is today. But as we look at God's plan for Israel, He gave very specific instructions on how to overcome Jericho, how to conquer Jericho. Now, these were plans that would not have made sense to any type of military mind. These plans would not have made sense to any strategist, to anybody standing at the whiteboard trying to devise a military action. It would not have made sense, but God's plans most of the time don't make sense to us. I'm glad that the mighty God of the universe cannot fit inside my 2-pound brain. I'm glad for that this morning. There were some things that God told them that allowed them, part of God's plan, to conquer Jericho. And I believe they can help us today. Number one, look in verse number 2. In order to conquer Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, in order to conquer the Jericho, the trials, the tribulations, the obstacles in our life, number one, we have the promise of accomplishment. Look in verse number 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Listen, God give the nation of Israel a promise. Before they ever took the first step around the walls of Jericho, He promised them victory. Before they ever walked around the first day, the first time, God says, I'm going to bring the walls down for you. Before they ever started around in silence around that great big wall, God says, I'm going to bring the walls down. I'm going to give this city into your hand. You will be victorious. Now here's how you do it. Before they ever entered into that obstacle, before they ever entered into that battle, God had given them a promise that they would be successful. Hey, listen, today you may be against an obstacle in your life, but God has already promised us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, listen, when you face an obstacle this week, when you face an obstacle over the fall break, when you face an obstacle in your family, God has already promised you that through Jesus Christ we have victory. I love today that, listen, even though we face battles and even though our enemy brings sometimes some battles that we can't see through and that we don't understand, I'm glad that we this morning are fighting a defeated foe. He lost the battle in war a long time ago, and while He brings it into our life, we can open up the last chapter and see where God wins. God's not lost His power. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 5 and verse 4, but whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen, today we have the promise of accomplishment. God's already promised us victory. As we enter into battles, and those battles do come into our life, those battles are difficult in our life, God's promised us victory already. We can face it knowing that He wins. He wins. But number two, look at verse number six. Not only did he give them the promise of accomplishment, but number two, look at verse number six. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. So God tells them, listen, you're going into this battle, you're going to win. But as you go into battle, behind the armed men, behind the soldiers, as they walk around, are going to be the priests blowing the trumpets. Now today, you're Bible scholars, and you probably understand this better than I do, and if I'm wrong, you correct me later, but as we look at the priests bearing the trumpets, the priests represented the worship of God. They represented the presence of God. So God not only gave them a promise of the accomplishment, but number two, he gives them the presence of the Almighty. As they go into battle, as they circle the walls of Jericho, the only sound that is being made is the horns being blown by the priest. You know what God is doing? He's reminding them that I'm right here with you. He's reminding them that call to worship, that sound of worship, that music behind them that represented the presence and the worship of God. God's reminding his people, hey, I'm still right here with you. I've not sent you into battle by yourself. I've not sent you to face Jericho on your own. I've not sent you into battle while I stay back beside the Jordan River. I'm with you every step of the way. We have that same promise. We have that same blessing that the God of heaven is with us every step of the way. Hebrews 13:5, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, listen, sometimes when we face the battles and trials and troubles of this life, sometimes it seems like we're all by ourselves. But the way it seems is not reality. The way it appears is not reality. Because if we open our eyes a little bit wider, if we open our spiritual eyes a little bit wider, we'll see that there is a God that is with us, who has always been with us, who will always be with us. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And even though you may be against Jericho this week, in your life, the God that's been with you every step of the way, he's still with you this day and this week. He'll be with you next week. He's not going to leave you without his presence. Sometimes we forget about his presence. Sometimes we get our eyes to focus on the walls of Jericho and we forget about the worship of Jehovah. Have you been in his presence today? You say, well, Sam, I've been in his presence this week. I tell you, it's midterms. Most people do when it comes midterms. What about that personal walk with God, that personal time with God? There is so much strength that we gain from being in God's presence and worshiping God and seeking his face. And God reminds us, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Hey, we know that as a mental fact. But then to experience that time in our life where God just seems to slip up beside of us, and we know as Christians he lives inside, we know that. But those times when all of a sudden his presence is so real and those comforting arms of love, those everlasting arms of love seem to just hug us and pull us a little bit closer. God says, I'm here. I hear your cries. I understand the trials. You may not see the storms. You may not see through the dark clouds, but I'm right here with you. You don't have to fight alone. You don't have to walk all by yourself because God is here. He reminded them of his presence as they went into Jericho. But number three, look if you will in verse number six. We read it a minute ago, because the priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord, third in line. Second in line behind the armed men is the Ark of the Covenant. Very, very sacred piece of furniture to God and to the nation of Israel. As they went into battle, you know, if I'm going into Jericho, I'm thinking, listen, let's not take furniture. Let's take some tanks. We need some camels. We need some horses. We need artillery. We need the big guns. This is a big city. But God says, no, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant. Why does he do that? Number three this morning, they had the proof of assistance. The proof of assistance. Here come the priests blowing the trumpets. Here come the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You remember what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The three items in the Ark of the Covenant. One was the broken tablets, the broken commandments that reminded Israel of their brokenness and their sin against God. Second was Aaron's rod that budded, reminds us of redemption. Reminds us that even though the commandments were broken, even though sin brings death, life can come forth. It brings redemption. God brings a redemptive plan into our life. And then there was the bowl of manna that reminded them of God's daily provision. You know the story. Every day that God would bring manna and meet their needs. Every day they went out and they had food to eat. Every day through the wilderness they had their clothes didn't wear out, and God had met their needs when they didn't see where the needs were going to be met, when they didn't understand the answers. God brought those things into their life. And so now with the Ark of the Covenant, we have a reminder of God's presence, but we also have a reminder of God's assistance and God's provisions. You see, if anybody got discouraged and thought about turning around and going back to camp, they would have to see the Ark of the Covenant and remember that there was a God who had worked in their behalf before. There was a God who had met their needs before. There was a God who had with them in the trials before. And even though they had broken His law, and even though they had disappointed God, and even though there were times they made God angry, that there was a God who still met their needs and still loved them and still guided them and still was there for them every step of the way. Listen, they were reminded that there was a God who had been there before, and He was still with them now. Oh, so many times we get so focused on what's in front of us that we forget how God worked behind us. Sitting here today, can you think back to the times that God has been there before? Think back to the times where God met the need that you didn't know how it was going to be met. Think back to the time when God answered prayers that you had almost given up hope on. Think back to the times where God brought you that peace in the middle of a storm that you just didn't have any idea. You were confused and you didn't know which way was up, but God had brought peace into your heart and mind that only He could. Think back to those times. Listen, God puts those things in our life many times. He can bring them back to our remembrance so that He reminds us, hey, I was with you before. I worked in your behalf before. My power was great before, and it has not changed. Think back to those times when God was there for you. When God paid that school bill that you didn't know how it was going to get paid. When God brought that answer to a midterm that you didn't really remember. When God brought the answer to fix that automobile. When God brought healing to your loved one. When God saved your friend, remember that time when God met the need before? He's still the same God. And I tell you today, He's not up for re-election. He's still the same God. He's still on the throne. The King of Kings is still here. He's not lost His power. He has not lost His care for our life. He's still there. He's worked before and He'll work again. I'll never forget, years ago, my dad was a student here. We lived here in Shelby, just a couple miles from here. There were four of us kids, maybe five at the time. I don't remember, but there was four or five of us. I lost count. I don't even remember all the names of my siblings. But anyway, we were living in a double-wide trailer here in Shelby. We drove an old Chevy Malibu station wagon. I think the thing was about a 1977 or something like that. It was old for a car. for a car. It had problems. When we went off to Bible college, there was a dear sweet lady in our hometown that said, I want to be a blessing to you. And she gave us this car. We had to go to the barn and push it out of the barn. It had been sitting in the barn for years. You couldn't see the car. There was so much dirt and dust covering it, but she gave it to us and praised the Lord for it. Man, we loaded that thing up, put a battery in it, cranked it up, drove it to Bible college, and man, we had paper routes. You can put a bunch of papers in the back of a station wagon. And it was cool, too, because we could ride in the back of that thing. I think that's where some of my brain damage comes from, rolling around in the back of that station wagon. But I never forget, that car had some problems. Had several problems, and it got to the point where it was just about not able to drive. And my dad had taken it to a mechanic, somebody who knew about cars, and said, what's it going to take to fix this? And I forget, listen to me this morning. The quote was for $1,000. It's going to take $1,000 to get this car drivable to where you can drive around in it. $1,000. Anybody here got $1,000 extra cash laying around? We didn't either. So what did we do? And I'm so grateful for my mom and dad. I'm so grateful for their leadership in this. We came together as a family and started praying for $1,000 to fix this car. That was the way Dad got back and forth to work and back and forth to school right here at Ambassador Baptist College. And I'll never forget, as an 8-year-old boy at the time, I began to think, I might have been 9 at the time, about 9 years old. I began to have questions in my mind about God. But Lindsay, I began to think about this, and these questions started developing in my mind, and how we can believe God, and how do we know that God is real. And I'll never forget, one day Dad came home from work, and these questions were just rolling around in my mind as a 9-year-old boy. And Dad come in the front door. He had stopped at the mailbox and he was going through the mail. And I remember this like it was yesterday. Listen to me. I walked up to Dad and I said, Dad, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. He's sorting through the mail. I said, Dad, how do we know that the God we worship is the true God? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, Dad, everybody around the world has their gods. And all of them believe that they're worshiping the true God. All of them believe that what they are worshiping is right. How do we know that we really are right? You're thinking, man, that's silly. You may have already figured that out by 9 years old, but I hadn't. Some of you may not have it figured out now. Listen to me. How do we know that the God we serve is the true God? I'm asking these questions. They were weighing heavy on my mind. Now, I'll never forget, as Dad listened to me ask those questions. Brother Isaac, as I was asking those questions, he had stopped sorting the mail and was just listening to me. When I said, Dad, how do I know? How do we know that we serve the true God? He handed me an envelope out of that stack of mail and said, son, here is how I know. And open that envelope. There was a check in that envelope from a man who was in the North Carolina State Penitentiary. He was in prison. And from prison, God had laid it on this man's heart to send our family a check, you'll never guess the amount, for $1,000. I don't know what he was in the state pen for. I don't know where that money come from. All I know is it showed up in our mailbox. Listen, for $1,000, you say, hey, praise the Lord, it was able to fix that car. Yes, we got our car fixed, but let me tell you something. God did something that day far greater than fixing a station wagon. God did something that day far greater than a mechanical miracle. God did something that day in the heart of a 9-year-old boy, because God reached down from heaven and said, son, I want to show you something. I want to show you that when you serve me and you love me,
I'll be here for you. And on that day, God showed me that He could be trusted, that He was real, that He could be depended on, that He loved me. He loved my family. He loved the needs that we had, and He would be there to meet them. You'll never imagine how many times in my life since that day I've looked back on that day and say, yes, I don't know the answer right now, but I know at 9 years old there was a God in heaven that met the need of a family that was crying out to Him. God met the needs then, and God will meet my needs now. Some of you need to look back, quit worrying, quit biting your fingernails down to the quick, because if you'll look back, you'll see a God that met the need yesterday, and God will meet today need today, and God will meet your need tomorrow. And when you face Jericho, there's a proof that God has been there before, and He'll be there for you again. Lastly, this morning, God gives them the promise of aid. Look in verse number 13. In verse number 13, the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before them, the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. Watch this. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. God gives them the promise of aid. The last one in line was the reward. Has anybody used that word this week in everyday conversation? I figured in Bible college somebody would have. That's not a word we use very often. So begin to study it a little bit, Brother Spencer. What was the re-reward? If you study the re-reward in the armies, in the military, the re-reward was the rear guard of the army. Now, this isn't a reward. It wasn't something they earned by winning the battle, okay? They didn't win the lottery here. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a reward, okay? The re-reward. I'm not for playing the lottery, by the way. It's the rear guard of the army. And so they were the last ones in the line going into battle. The rear reward was responsible for defending the army from the back. They were there to make sure that there wasn't a sneak attack that caught the front lines off guard. You listening to me this morning? They were there to make sure that the enemy hadn't created a diversion up here so they could attack from back there. They were there not only as the rear guard, but they were there as the reinforcements. If they went into battle, the front lines went into battle, and if they got into the battle and the battle was stronger and the battle was more heated and the battle was more intense than what they had planned on it being, then the re-reward could step up and reinforce the front lines. They could increase their attack. They could increase their defenses on the front lines. But it was also there as replenishment. If in battle the people on the front lines got injured or somebody died, then somebody from the re-reward, the rear guard, would step up and fill that spot, fill that void that had been left due to someone being killed or injured. The re-reward was responsible for replenishing the front ranks. And so the re-reward of the army was there to make sure that the people, that the army was covered, listen to it this morning, on all sides, to make sure they had everything that they needed. The re-reward would carry the supplies and would carry the replacement equipment, the replacement army, the infantrymen. They were replacement. They were there as reinforcements. They were the rear guard. They were there to make sure that the army was taken care of and protected from all sides. Listen to it this morning. I'm almost done. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 52 and verse 12. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. The Bible says in Isaiah 58 and verse 8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Listen, I can't hardly focus on what's in front of me, much less behind me. I don't know what's right here in front of my face, much less what's on the left and the right. I'm not capable of keeping it all together. I'm not capable of seeing everything in 360. But there's a God in heaven that says, "Listen, you don't see everything. You don't know everything. But I'm here to make sure that even though you're being attacked here, I'm not going to allow more into your life than you can handle. I've got you covered from back here. You don't have to worry about the devil sneaking up into your life, because as long as you're on my side, as long as you're on the Lord's side, God's got us covered. He's got us covered from all sides. The God of heaven doesn't just go with us into battle. He's behind us in the battle, making sure that the devil can't sneak up on us, that he doesn't allow. Hey, there's times when we get injured in the fight. And God, just like Brother Rain was talking about this morning, he was talking about the buckler and the shield. And listen, he's there to meet our every need. When I get wounded in the fight, he's there to pick me up. When I go down, he's there to give me strength. When I'm confused, he's there with wisdom. When I'm weak, he's there with strength. When I'm there and I don't have the knowledge, there he is. I need wisdom from him. All I've got to ask. And the God of heaven is in my life. He is in your life to make sure that as you leave for fall break, or you leave for your next class, or you leave for home, or you leave for your job, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there with you and he's got you covered on all sides. Nothing can happen in your life that takes the God of heaven by surprise. In a million years, I'll never understand how the God of heaven can create the world that we see in six literal days. So powerful that he creates the whole universe, the words of his mouth, but yet so personal that he cares about what's going on right here inside little old me. The God of heaven cares. Not just does he care, but he can take care of it. There's times I care about other folks, but I can't fix the problem. There's times I love on folks, but I can't help them. All I can do is love and care. We got a God who loves and cares and has the ability to fix the problem, the ability to fight for us, the ability to not just bring us into the storm, but bring us through the storm victorious. And we can overcome Jericho because the God of heaven is our reward. What does the Bible tell them to do? God told them on the seventh time around, he told them to what? He told them to shout. Study the word shout. The word shout and the word praise have similar root words. It literally means to sing praise with a loud voice. On the last time around, they didn't just look up at those walls and go, "Ah!" It's not what they did. On that seventh time around, as they finished that seventh rotation around those walls, they lifted their voice and started singing the praises of Jehovah. Maybe they started calling out his name. Maybe they started giving God. You say, "Man, that's what happens after you win the war." No, that's what you do so you can win the war, is praise the God of heaven. God says, "Listen, you're going into battle against maybe the biggest obstacle you've ever faced. Maybe against the most well-fortified city you've ever seen in your life. But hold on. Keep walking. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't turn back. Don't go back to camp. Just keep walking. Keep following the plan until God says, it's over." You may be here this morning, you're discouraged. You may have just left a midterm that just absolutely discouraged you this morning. Maybe you did everything you could. Now, if you didn't study, we're lazy, that's on you. But maybe you did everything you could and it just beat you down this morning. And that midterm may have you in a low place this morning. That's not small. That's reality. That's where life is right now. You may come in this morning and say, I don't even know what the use is. I don't even know why I'm trying. Can I tell you, keep walking until God says stop. You may be working in your church and you've been teaching a Sunday school class all semester. You may be a senior here and you've been teaching the same group of kids for 4 years now, and it just doesn't seem like sometimes you're just not getting through and you're not making a difference. And what's the point? Somebody else come in and do something and I just can't do it anymore. Can I tell you, keep walking until God says stop.
Hey, listen, there may be a sickness in your family. I don't know you this morning. There may be a sickness in your family. There may have been a death in your family recently, and it's got you discouraged and it's got you weighed down. Listen, that's the reality of life. God doesn't make fun of that. God doesn't look at us like that's the most ridiculous thing. He said, no, I understand what's weighing you down. I understand what's got you discouraged this morning. And I just want you to know that the God of heaven and the God of the Bible is still by your side. He still has you covered on all sides. Hey, listen, we're living in a time. Listen, when our churches are discouraged right now, people have left churches. The churches are shut their doors and things are happening all around us. None of this took God by surprise. We can still serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can serve Him in the good times and we can serve Him in the bad times. We can serve Him in the daylight and we can serve Him in the middle of the night. We can serve Him in the sunshine and we can serve Him in the rain, because the God of heaven is not bothered by Jericho. He's got a plan for it. He's got a plan for you. And this morning I believe God wants you to know, just keep walking. Don't quit till God says stop.